It's Women's History Month in 2023, and there are a lot of things we've come to take for granted. One of them is seeing women working in so-called non-traditional roles. From spaceflight to construction work, women rarely raise eyebrows anymore when they're employed in roles that were previously almost all male-dominated. Some say we owe that to Rosie the Riveter. The iconic image of a woman worker rolled out during World War II to encourage women to support the war effort in defense industries. And while all those Rosies played their part, the normalization of women in non-traditional jobs has to be credited to many incremental inroads made by brave women who weren't afraid to buck tradition. And it's an effort that is ongoing even today. We talk with some of those women. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Today, we're talking about women in non-traditional jobs, and we'll meet a few of them. Desiree Horton is a helicopter pilot with the Kern County Fire Department, and she joins us right now to talk about her non-traditional job. Good to see you. It's been a long time since I've seen you face-to-face, and you've been doing non-traditional work for a long time. First of all, when we first met, like many of us in the news business, you were working in the news business. You were doing helicopter flying for media choppers. And tell us a little bit about how you got into that and how your career transitioned into what you're doing now.
Yes, well, it has been a long time, and it is good to see you. Growing up in Los Angeles, there's a lot of helicopters in the city. And so I'd always seen aircraft fly over, and I was just always intrigued with flight. And as a little girl, I wanted to be a pilot. And I got into news just because that was predominantly one of the larger job opportunities in the LA area was being able to fly for the news. Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted here looking at myself. I'm trying to make that go away. Thank you for that. That's a lot better now. Don't really want to stare at myself. The news was great. I really enjoyed flying the news. The airspace we have here in Los Angeles is some of the most challenging airspace we have out there. And so it was a lot of fun flying alongside like-minded individuals who enjoyed powering through the airspace and getting to the story. So it was a good time.
So you would fly in media helicopters over brush fires. And then at some point you decided, wait a minute, maybe being a helicopter pilot for a fire department is a good idea, right?
Yeah, and that actually was the original goal. Growing up in LA as well, you're always seeing vegetation fires on the news. So I wanted to become a fire pilot, but in order to get into those jobs, you have to meet certain minimum requirements, and that takes years and a lot of hours to get the experience to be able to do that. So I had to work in the private sector for a really long time to gain that experience and contract to the Forest Service before I can actually get a job flying for a fire department. But that was always the goal, and it was hard for me when I was flying news and I'd be way up there on top of the fire, looking down, filming it. I always wanted to be down there fighting the fire with the other helicopter pilots.
Interesting. I never knew that. Hey, I want to take a look at a video here of some group photos of you and your fellow firefighters. Now, the thing we're going to notice here is that you're always the only woman. That's just the way things were, right? You're the only woman in these pictures. Why is that? And what is your favorite part of the job?
Oh, boy. Yeah. A lot of questions there to answer. Being the only woman, it's just not a typical job that a lot of women pursue. And there is a lot of resistance in the industry. In the private sector, there are more female pilots. But in the government sector, women are faced with a lot of challenges. So there's not a lot of, we don't see a lot of women due to that. So a lot of women will give up and they won't pursue it and they won't stick with it. But, the most rewarding thing is honestly, it's, just doing good work. It's doing meaningful work. And, I just enjoy working with crews that, we all have the same goal to put the fire out or to go to a rescue and save someone's life.
I've got to ask you, was it always sort of a driver for you to break ceilings? Well, did you want to kind of like, I want to be the first this, I want to be the first to do that?
You know, I never thought of it that way. When I started out flying, I knew that I didn't see any other women doing this job. And when I did it, I just did it because I was always used to hanging out with the guys. You know, I grew up with a brother and we did everything together, and I was always very outdoorsy. So I got into it just thinking this is something that I really want to do. And I didn't think about being the only girl at the time. And that was never really the goal, was to be the first, but it just so happens that I have been the first with a lot of the jobs that I've been at. I've been either the first female there or the first to do that type of work. And I never really thought about it until it was brought to my attention by other people.
You've broken a few glass ceilings there. Have you ever, though, gotten any blowback from being a woman in a traditionally male profession?
Yeah, you know, even in the beginning, starting out, I was met with a lot of resistance from the flight schools. A lot of the pilots didn't take me seriously. They either didn't want me around because I was different, because I am a woman. And then even later on in my career, I experienced different forms of, as you would call it, discrimination. And I was treated differently and scrutinized and watched more than some of my male counterparts. And as a woman, you kind of are, what's the word I'm looking for here? You're more in the spotlight because you are the only one usually doing it. So that's something that I always had to be aware of, that, you know, I needed to work harder and always just do a really good job because I was going to be held to higher standards.
Yeah, you're currently dealing with some legal issues regarding the end of your employment with the Orange County Fire Authority. Of course, we can't get into too much of the details on that, but let me just ask you, I mean, has this challenge made you regret any of the choices that you made in your career?
No regrets. You know, it's just the hardest thing for me is that was my dream job, and so it's just unfortunate that things have ended up the way they have. And, you know, I just have to push forward and pursue what I love doing, which I'm still doing now, working for the department I work for now. I work with great people and I do the kind of work I love.
Desiree, you're the perfect person to ask this question, but there are, I'm sure, some young girls watching right now. What do you want to say to them? What's your advice to young girls that are looking forward to some sort of a career?
Just know that you might end up facing some resistance. You might not always be given a fair shake and you could be held to a higher standard, but it's not always this way. There's, you know, you're going to work with a lot of great guys and, you know, it's just don't ever let that get you down. Don't ever let that stop you. And just know that, you know, there's just as many good people out there that you work with as there are people that maybe, will treat you differently because they are so used to the culture being a certain way. And so that's just something that you just have to learn to deal with and accept.
Desiree Horton, a helicopter pilot I've known for a very long time. Good to see you again. Thanks for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, a career with the DWP. It may be an unexpected career for a woman, but is it one that more women should consider? We'll talk to a woman who can give us some perspective coming up next after the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've invited a couple of workers from the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power to join us in the next segments. We're going to talk first with a power system worker. Her name is Alicia Dickerson. She does power system building and repair for the DWP. Alicia, thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
Nice meeting you, sir.
You guys have been pretty busy with all the rain out there, haven't you, with all the power outages and so forth and so on. So imagine this is a nice little break for a second for you. And thanks for all that work you're doing out there. I know a lot of people have been having a tough time with power, but let's talk a little bit about what sounds to us like a complicated job. Can you sort of simplify what you do for DWP?
Okay, Hal, I do work in the power systems. However, I don't deal with any electricity, okay? What I do for the Department of Water and Power, I am considered a building and repairer, and I go out to people's homes, our customers that our ratepayers for the department. And so what I do is offer them ways to save on their electric and water bill, and sometimes add safety provisions and weatherization measures.
How did you get into that?
Well, I've been into construction since 2002. I started off as a laborer, so a union laborer, and I heard about a nice program that the Department of Water and Power offers, which is called the Utility Pre-Craft Program. And I signed up for it, and I've been going from there.
So here you are, a power system builder, a non-traditional job. And I guess, you know, what is it you enjoy most about the work that you do?
Interacting with the customers and putting a smile on their faces, trying to help them save on their bills.
What challenges have you faced? And I may be wrong, but I would bet there aren't too many women in your field. And are your male colleagues accepting?
My male counterparts are great to work with. A lot of them has taught me what I know today. I'm quite sure there's others that aren't, but I haven't experienced that at all. It's a great job. So the challenges that I might face is, it's kind of nerve-wracking going to different people's homes. They're strangers, right? And you never know what you might get yourself into as far as how people live in their home.
Well, let me ask you, I want to ask you the same thing that I asked Desiree in the last segment. Have you had any blowback about being a woman in a male-dominated role?
No, not here at all. Maybe when I was on the outside, but not here at all. We have all kind of provisions set up that protect us all from any types of discrimination.
Does the DWP make an effort to recruit and support female workers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We actually are trying now to get more women in, more than ever before. Recently we were scheduled to have a women's expo, where we're hoping to spread the word that we're looking for more women to come and be employed here.
I heard you say something. Yeah, I'm sorry. I heard you say something there a moment ago about something you were uncomfortable about. Can you expand on that a little bit? What gives you discomfort?
Oh, no. I was just saying, as far as going into people's homes, you never know what you're going to get yourself into. You don't know how people live in their homes. Some neighborhoods are better than others. That's the only thing. Nothing's uncomfortable.
But how do you prepare for that? I mean, whether you're a guy or a gal, you still have to prepare for going into what will become your workplace.
How do you prepare for it? You go in there with a good attitude and with the intention to provide them what you were sent out there to do.
Yeah.
I haven't had any issues with any customers so far. If anybody's watching, they'll tell you that it goes smoothly, especially the things that I offer are free.
So what would you tell, as I asked Desiree in the last segment, what would you tell younger women who may not be thinking about alternative careers such as yours?
They should come with an open mind and understand that, especially at the Department of Water and Power, we offer competitive pay, great benefits. We even also, if you want to continue your education and flourish more in your career, you can do so here.
All right. Alicia Dickerson, sounds like you have a very interesting job, and I'm so glad to hear how much you enjoy the work that you do. Thanks for being with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll be back with more perspective on women in non-traditional jobs. Coming up next, we find out what it's like to be a water treatment supervisor with the Department of Water and Power. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We're talking to another worker with the DWP now, this time on the water side of things. Jacqueline Ochoa is a water treatment supervisor with the department. And good to see you. Thanks for joining us, Jacqueline.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Hal.
Well, you've got, as I understand it, you've had to go through a few levels to get where you are. I assume what you do requires some pretty specialized training. Can you sort of explain?
Sure does. As a water treatment operator, you need state certification for treatment as well as distribution, be able to take the exam and promote into a position in treatment. That's a very important position, very important job. There's a lot of good people here that ensure that the water supply to the city is safe. I started off, again, as a water treatment operator, worked my way up to the lead or filtration plant control room operator, became a supervisor a number of years ago, and now a senior water treatment supervisor in the same group.
You know, sometimes we choose our careers, and sometimes it feels like our careers choose us. What happened in your case?
And everything fell into place. My father actually is was a DWP employee who retired a number of years back, and a chance meeting with the chief plant operator of the Los Angeles Aqueduct Filtration Plant. And he let me know about this position, encouraged me to take treatment classes so I could get state certification in order to be able to apply. And again, he had a lot of encouraging words for me, and I took the leap. Was able to get my certification, was able to score high on the exam, and was given the opportunity to be in that position.
What is the thing you enjoy most about your job?
I enjoy, when I first started, it was all team effort, and it is a team effort job, working together, where one shift makes sure things are going well. It's a 24/7 operation here for this filtration plant. And you rely on your previous shift, your co-worker, to keep the plant running well. And it was always a team effort. And I think that was the biggest joy, is that you had people that can relate to whatever time of the day that you came in on your shift. And like I said, it was a team, and that's what made it so valuable, is that you were part of a team.
What are some of the challenges that you've had to face? Sort of the same thing we asked Alicia. Are your colleagues, your male colleagues, accepting? Have you had any blowback?
I would say initially, I think many moons ago when I first started, either initially, they were worried that something would change. But I think they realized once I got here that nothing was going to change. I still needed to learn. I was basically unaware of all. I was just a trainee coming in. And they actually, I think they recognized that I was just like they are. And I think because when you have hard work, you want to put yourself in their place. You want to make sure that you're following through. You want to make sure that, as I mentioned, you're continuing the cycle of working, and that way you're working together with the your team. And I was part of that team, and I made myself part of that team. And I think they were able to respect that. So there's no blowback here per se, and I'm lucky that I've never felt it. But I have a good sense of humor, and I think that working in this group has been a blessing to me.
But if there is a pressure that women face to prove that they're better than anybody else who does the job, if you experience any of that, how do you deal with that?
I'm going to say sometimes the pressure is stuff that we put on ourselves when you're growing up, teenagers, young women everywhere. It's the pressure you put on yourself. And I'm going to say I felt that pressure placed on me, but it was by me. And that was when you first start. It's so different. It's so new. I worked in an office before I got here. I mean, an office, and actually full circle. Now I'm back in an office. But initially, again, it's that insecurity. Am I learning fast enough? Am I doing a good job? But it's stuff that we put on ourselves. So I think we have to get out of that cycle about you can do anything you want. You can do anything that you choose to. You learn, you study, and you can break it. You can break ceilings everywhere. So like I said, it's been a best blessing.
Have you felt supported as a female worker? And to what extent have you felt that support?
I'm going to say I felt support as an employee, not necessarily as a female employee. But just as an employee, there's many opportunities, classes. We're required to actually take training classes to improve our ourselves, whether it be personal development or continuing education units to be able to renew our licenses. So there's always an encouragement for all employees here, not just me as a woman, but all employees.
So let's ask you the same thing that we asked Alicia and we asked Desiree. For the young women that are out there right now watching you, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them about finding jobs like the one you're in right now?
It's not just to the young women. It's to their parents. It's to their older cousins. It's to everyone that can actually put a thought into a child's or a young teenager's head that you can do anything. You're just not limited to being in an office. If that's what you want to do, that is yours, and that's fantastic. But there are a lot of other opportunities that you can try. And remember, you can try one. If you don't like it, you can go another one, but you have to try it. Yeah, you have that ability. There's only yourself can deny your improvement in life. And you don't want to be negative. You don't want to put a wrench in it too early in time. You can do anything. If I can do it, I mean, anyone can do it. So
I think that would be fine. Think positive and keep an open mind, right? Think positive and keep an open mind. Jacqueline Ochoa, thank you so very much. Good to talk to you. Good to hear your perspective. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.